Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Later on in the show, Casey Keller and Craig Burley will be joining me to reflect on Sunday's FA Cup matches. But we start in La Liga. Real Madrid now 2 points clear at the top of the table after a 1-0 victory over Espanyol. Gab Marcotti and Ali Moreno with me. Ali, this game instantly forgettable, all but for that amazing assist from Karim Benzema,
who continues to be the highlight in a team that is somewhat underwhelming. You're expecting more. You're expecting for them to be explosive. You're expecting for them to dominate a team like Espanyol, who has been and continue to be and will continue to be at the bottom of the table in La Liga. And yet, for Real Madrid, it's Benzema in the attacking half, or really not much else. And that backheel division, the execution of that idea, and then Casemiro, it's able to score from my kind of range. It's 1-0, and it's enough for Real Madrid. And I think before we sort of criticize Real Madrid in terms of what we think is an underwhelming performance, I will have to say they are practical. They are pragmatic. They're effective. They're efficient. Yes, they're not sexy and pretty to watch a lot of the time, but if there is something that you can highlight from this team and the core group of this team, is that they know how to win. And at the very core, that's a very important attribute to have if you're going to win a league. And while Barcelona gave up the lead late in the game yesterday, Real Madrid never looked like giving away the lead today to Espanyol. And that is the difference between two teams, that one knows how to win, one is pragmatic and efficient and effective, and the other one is finding ways on giving away points. And then you separate yourself by 2 points, and it feels like it's so much more than that.
Let's do it, shall we, Gab? I'm going to ask you, Benzema, the best informed player in the world at the moment?
Well, considering Lewandowski's season is over, yeah, I mean, I think you could probably make a case in that direction. You know, all those years when Cristiano was scoring 50 goals a season and whatnot, Benzema was accepting his role. He accepted sharing time with Gonzalo Higuain at the beginning. He accepted, you know, not being an out-and-out, finisher and striker, not being the main man. And now that he's called upon to do it, he's delivering. He is stepping into, I mean, as much as anybody can step into Cristiano's enormous shoes, he's stepping into those shoes in terms of the scoring output and also in terms of the assist output. And he's done it with that same tremendous work rate and movement that has marked, you know, the last couple of years. I think he's a tremendous story.
Ali?
Well, here's the thing. Gab just mentioned stepping into those shoes. And I think he has had to step into those shoes because the guys that were supposed to help him, the guys that were supposed to be the explosive players on the wings and on the outside, are not doing their job. And so when you think about Eden Hazard today, yet again, another one of those games that you say, well, he was out there, he was active, he was running around, but very little impact in the game. Gareth Bale, well, who knows about that? And so if it is going to happen in the attacking half for Real Madrid, it's going to have to come from Karim Benzema. Whether it's his hold-up play, whether it's him running with the ball, whether it's him finishing the chances, everything that is productive in the final third for Real Madrid goes through Karim Benzema, because everybody else is just not really playing at the level that they were expected to. And so, therefore, it really is the responsibility of Karim Benzema to make this thing work.
How much did he know about that assist? How much did he mean it, Ali?
Oh, he meant all of it. The moment he made that movement away from the defender and makes a diagonal run, you can see that he's taking a look at where Casemiro is running into. And he knows he's running away from goal. And so, therefore, the only opportunity that he has in order to make sure that he gets the ball to Casemiro is doing the backheel. And every intention of Karim Benzema of looking at Casemiro, knowing where he was, feeling where the space is going to be, and delivering the pass, and then Casemiro with the tap-in. It was just beautiful from Karim Benzema.
You mentioned Eden Hazard came to Real Madrid overweight, got that injury. All the talk, though, during the break was Hazard's looked great in training. He's back to his best. He's looking fit. He's looking lean. He's ready to go. Yet, pretty much 6 out of 10, you can write it before he starts at the moment. That's how little impact he seems to be having on most of the game. What's going on, Ali?
What's going on is that we're not seeing the same Eden Hazard that we were used to seeing with Chelsea, where he would throw himself in a wide area, and how many times we saw him cutting to the inside or actually beating somebody on the outside and having that change of pace. We don't see that from Eden Hazard. So he throws himself into the middle a lot, where he's floating underneath Karim Benzema. And today in particular, what you can say about Real Madrid is that they had so many numbers in central areas, because Isco wants the ball, Benzema wants the ball, then Eden Hazard wants the ball, Toni Kroos wants the ball, and they're all coming to the ball, and there's nobody stretching the back line, and so there is no space to operate. And so Benzema adds, it's going to be the central guy, and then Hazard adds himself into that sort of crowded area, doesn't look for the spaces out wide, is unable to take advantage of something that has been part of his success as a player, and that is his change of pace and beating people in tight spaces from 1v1 situations. And so now he crowds himself into an area in which you have no space. You can't take on people, and you end up just playing two touches and kind of moving away from the ball and having, once again, very little impact on the play.
Go on, Gap.
No, I agree totally with what Ali said. And one thing I'd throw in is, I think, you know, having watched him up close at Chelsea and his evolution over the years, I think people don't always fully appreciate how in his last couple seasons at Chelsea, Eden Hazard had almost complete license. It was almost like he was playing his own game. He didn't have to fit into the schemes. It was all about him when he wanted it to be about him. And he was very, very productive that way. He had a freedom that he's simply not going to have at Real Madrid, where his role is to be a winger. So if he wants, if he does want to be crowded, if he wants to get the ball in space and have space, and he doesn't always necessarily need space, mind you, then he has to operate in a more disciplined wide role. And I mean, and certainly Hazard and Isco together, I mean, to me, that only works if Isco drops in the hole and you play Hazard up front with Benzema, which theoretically he could also do. But just like this, it's not working. They're not clicking.
Real Madrid then 2 points clear at the top of the table. That's after, of course, Barcelona dropping points yesterday against Celta Vigo. Interesting point from Luis Suarez speaking after the game, coming out and saying, "What is wrong with us? That is what coaches are for, to analyze the situation. We gave everything on the field of play, and yet you are left with the feeling that we are dropping lots of points away from home, which we did not drop in other seasons." Just to put that into context, at home, in 16 games, Barcelona have dropped 2 points all season, 15 wins and a draw. Yet away from home, they've only managed 6 victories out of 16. The coaching that he mentions, it's kind of interesting, isn't it, Ali?
It is, but those numbers that you're talking about go all the way back to Valverde as well. It's not just Quique Setién. And so if you consider what the constant is here, is the players, not the coaches. Although I can say that perhaps Quique Setién may have mismanaged the minutes of Lionel Messi early on in this restart, where he could have given him a break against Mallorca and couldn't have given him a break against Leganés. Didn't do so. And then yesterday, the last 10, 15 minutes, Lionel Messi went missing. Maybe he's tired, maybe he's not. We are trusting, as Quique Setién says, that Messi can regulate his minutes. He can control his body and know his body very well. But we can see the evidence out on the field that he did not participate nearly as much in the game in the last 15, 20 minutes of that match. And so, therefore, you can point the finger and say, well, this is something that the coach could have done better. This is something that could have been managed better. And even the substitutions yesterday didn't quite make a lot of sense. If you're seeing out the game, if you're closing out the game, and you're a little bit of hanging on towards the end against Celta de Vigo, I'm not sure what is it that Antoine Griezmann gives you that is going to really settle the team down defensively. How is it that that's the solution for you, instead of, okay, we're going to solidify, we're going to get 2 lines of 4, or whatever we need to do in order to see this out? That part you can criticize, that part you can question. As what the performance of the team has been over the course of the season away from home, it's been two different coaches, and the players carry a lot of the responsibility.
On yesterday's show, Gab, Ali added 80% Real Madrid, 20% Barcelona to win the title. Where do you stand in the percentage game?
I'm not going to quite go that high because, you know, we saw it again today against Espanyol, who are on their fourth manager of the year. And, you know, it's all fine and well to talk about controlling the game and whatnot. But, you know, let's not forget, it was a one-goal margin. So these things can turn around pretty quickly. So I'm going to go tighter than that. I'm going to go 60-65 Real Madrid.
Boys, thank you very much. Much more La Liga talk to come on tomorrow's show. Sebastian Salazar in the hot seat. Be sure to join him.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Three FA Cup quarterfinals on Sunday. Just to take you through all the results, Arsenal with a 2-1 victory over Sheffield United. Meanwhile, Chelsea beat Leicester. And then a late game, Manchester City with a 2-0 win over Newcastle. Craig and Casey with me to look back at those games. Craig, let's start, shall we, with the Arsenal game. Late drama. It looked like it was going to be an Arsenal win. United equalised. And then Ceballos with the winner.
Yeah, which saved the extra time, obviously, which nobody really wants at the moment because of all the games coming thick and fast after the lockdown. Look, we know Sheffield United haven't started particularly well since the restart. Their momentum has completely gone. So for Arsenal to go there and make the changes that they did and play some youngsters again and Lacazette got some game time, it was actually a good result. You know, David Luiz come back in, so I'm sure that was a bit of nail-biting for some of the Arsenal fans. But end of the day, you know, into the semi-finals, winning away in Sheffield, where they lost in the league this season, I think was a pretty good result.
I was intrigued, Casey, from a goalkeeper's perspective. Could Henderson have done better for the Ceballos goal? Did he open himself up a little bit?
Well, I think obviously Henderson has had a fantastic season and I think he has a tremendous future ahead of himself. And Craig made a point during the match that, you know, with De Gea maybe making the odd mistake, that maybe Henderson goes back and challenges him. But a little bit of a learning curve for young goalkeepers at times. And I think when Ceballos broke through at that angle, I would have loved to have seen Henderson just sit at that near post. Just make him beat you with pace. Instead, when he committed coming forward, he left it open for him to kind of get it through him. Now, if Ceballos is able to cut in on his left foot and opens the goal up, then yes, definitely you got to come out because then there's just too much space to cover. But at that angle, it would have been almost impossible for Ceballos if Henderson had just held at that near post and said, go ahead and beat me, delay, get more defenders back. But again, young goalkeepers, it's all part of the learning curve, and he's got a bright future ahead of himself. But that'll be something that I'm sure that him and his goalkeeping coach will have a look at, you know, as every goalkeeper does after a match and all those different things, and just see what could have done differently. By no means am I blaming Henderson for the goal, but that's just those little things as you get a little bit older and a little bit more experienced that maybe you just sit at that near post.
I love when we're doing a co-coms, Dan, and we start talking about goalkeeping issues and, you know, what a goalkeeper should have done. And I was thinking that when that goal went in, I thought, well, did he need to come for that? And it was a bit like Martinez for the throw-in for the equaliser. Was his positioning correct? And we try and analyse it as outfield players, but we just know there's all these goalkeepers around the world going, what the hell is he talking about? So I really wasn't sure whether he made the right decision or not. So I'm crystal clear now in what Casey said. He could have stopped at that near post, and then Ceballos would have had more to do. But he rushed out, and at the end of the day, it was a really good finish because he went low around. The keeper always tries to make himself big, and I've got absolutely no idea what I'm talking about here about goalkeepers.
Now you could extend that throughout pretty much most things. Meanwhile, Chelsea through with that win against Leicester. Leicester came flying out the traps, Craig, clearly well up for it. Chelsea resisted, got themselves back into the game. Big half-time substitutions from Lampard that in the end paid off.
Yeah, and I've just seen something, I don't know if true or not, that Lampard outed a few of them in the dressing room and said, you're not good enough to be wearing the Chelsea shirt with that kind of performance. Whether that's true or not remains to be seen. Look, young Billy Gilmour had a poor first 45 minutes, but it's a learning curve for that young man. I'm not going to criticise a teenager because he got caught in the headlights a few times, and Leicester did Preston, Leicester's only problem, or their biggest problem, was their final third. They did not take advantage of that good play early on. You had Barnes missing opportunities. We had Vardy missing opportunities. We had Tielemans with some poor decision-making. And then Lampard ran the changes, and it was a different game altogether, and it was a fantastic finish from Barkley. And Chelsea have an opportunity to keep that great cup run that they've had over the last 15, 20 years going. The FA Cup has been big for them, and they now go into the semi-finals. Look, that was a tough game, going to Leicester, and they got away with it somewhat. He made all those changes, and they got taken to the cleaners for 25 minutes, but managed to come out somehow unscathed.
Christian Pulisic starting once again. A lot of eyes on him, obviously, at the moment. Casey, Frank Lampard speaking about the young American ahead of this game, saying that he could become a goal scorer like your Mane's. He has got that ability to become a Sterling. Is that just all manager talk, or do you believe it?
No, I completely believe it. I mean, if you saw him just even again today, I thought he was Chelsea's best player for a majority of the match. And again, not only what he's able to do in setting up other players, but finding himself in goal scoring opportunities. I mean, Schmeichel made a brilliant save, or he would have scored in that first half. So, I mean, it really is a case. I think Pulisic, if he can stay healthy and continue to, learn and get better, there's no question. I completely agree with Frank that the sky's the limit. And you've seen that, I think, through this season. Yes, it was a little stop-start, and he came in, scored some goals, injury issues, but now he looks to be back at full form. And his ability to just, on the turn, skate past the defender and create space for his team going forward and creating goal-scoring chances, not only for himself but his teammates, that's a rare gift. And like I said, sky's the limit.
Craig?
Yeah, I don't disagree. And honestly, I think, he's shown, he's got good pace. He's got very good balance and poise. He's already shown he can strike a very good ball. He's a good finisher. Saw that in the week when he took the opportunity that was presented to him by Manchester City. And look, you know me, Dan. I'm not just saying this because he's an American and we are an American network. Because I don't give a stuff. If I don't think a guy's going to be good enough, I'll say it. But clearly here we have an individual who's got a talent. Now, that's not going to give him a God-given right to be in the Chelsea side going forward. And listen, he knows that, right? But what Chelsea are going to have going forward is competition for spots in the team. So everyone's going to have to raise their game. And I think Pulisic, as we've gone through the season and after the lockdown, the 3 months or whatever it is, he's come back in again and he's starting to raise his game again. And, Lampard took him off because I think he was carrying a little bit of an injury to the calf. He doesn't want to take any chances with this guy because he knows he's going to be a big player for them. He knows he's going to be a big option for him. And he also knows, and you pointed it out, that he's going to bring him potential goals. And that's huge for a manager. So, yeah, he's got a big future there, but he knows he has to play well. It's as simple as that.
We've heard Don talk about this, and Frank Lampard mentioned it as well in the week, talking about how he's very quiet. Quietest player amongst the squad. Reading between the lines, because I can't imagine being quiet is necessarily a bad asset, what is Lampard getting at, Craig?
And what point?
Just the fact that he's quiet, he's very shy, doesn't really, he's not outgoing in the locker room. I feel like people are trying to say something that maybe we can't read.
I think we're all reading too much into it. I think Frank Lampard was probably asked a question and he said, look, he's a quiet lad about the training ground. He keeps himself to himself. But I said when Don was on, a manager couldn't give a stuff if you're the loudmouth or you're the quiet guy. It's what happens in that 90 minutes plus on the field. Look, Casey will have seen it and I've seen it. I've seen some great trainers during the week. Guys that train their backside off and are the best five-a-side players in the world and they're giving all the big stuff, chip, chip, chipping away. And then come a Saturday when the 60,000 howling at you, they go into their shell. So it really matters not a jaw. I mean, so everybody's different. We can't all be like you, Daniel. We can't all be the big mouth out there. So what's wrong with being quiet? I don't understand.
Manchester City, meanwhile, safely through to the semi-finals once again of the FA Cup 2-0 victory over Newcastle. Where do we start? Andy Carroll or Dwight Gayle's miss? Andy Carroll's beard is quite something, Craig.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure about... Well, I am sure about that. It's not the best. But look, at the end of the day,
Man City will always give you some chances, but they completely, I mean, it was so boring to watch because they were so dominant.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can understand that's what Newcastle tried to do. But ultimately, it was doomed for failure. And on top of that, you know, you give away the soft penalty that Newcastle gave away. You know, complete madness against, you know, one of the best teams in the country that you can't get the ball off. It was always going to be a difficult afternoon.
Craig mentioned it, though, Casey. City will give you a chance. Dwight Gayle had that opportunity. Goodness me, I'll be thinking about that tonight.
Yeah, no question about it, particularly at 1-0. And as Craig said, if you think of what Steve Bruce put together to understanding who he was coming up against, you knew that they needed to defend with numbers. And then to give away the silly penalty when they did, but they still to keep it at 1-0 when it was a completely one-sided match. And, you know, Man City had so many little half chances with those little 1-2s inside the 18 that just didn't quite come off. And if you're going to beat Man City in a cup game, you need him to have one of those days where things just aren't quite coming off. And then here comes Dwight Gayle, second touch of the match, 6 yards out, side footer, and skies it over the bar to make it 1-1. And you would have thought, okay, Steve Bruce, the tactics were perfect. And then Raheem Sterling, and then there's the punishment of this game.
Yeah.
3 minutes later, Raheem Sterling cuts in on his right foot and makes it 2-0, and then it's done and dusted. But yeah, what an opportunity for Dwight Gayle to come off the bench, you know, get that equalizer and then really make Man City think. But, you know, for the most part, Craig was right. It was just let's watch Man City play keep away and hope for the odd mistake. And Newcastle got their opportunity and they didn't take it.
So the semi-final lineup is set. Arsenal will take on Manchester City, Manchester United against Chelsea. Who's the final going to be between, Craig?
Well, clearly City will be favourites in their semi-final against Arsenal. Arteta's going to have to come up with something to try and thwart that hugely talented City side going forward. That being said, when Aubameyang's in the side and he will play a fit, they're going to give you chances. So they have got that hope. I just don't think it's going to be enough because themselves defensively, I don't think are going to be good enough. So I've got City from one side. I think the second game is much harder to call. I really do. But I'm going to go with my old club purely because I think they're the more cohesive of the two sides. Although United have looked better recently, I think Lampard has got some great options in the attacking third. And I'm going to go for a Chelsea-Manchester City final.
Casey, United have beaten Chelsea 3 times already this season. Will they make it a fourth?
I don't know. I think so. But sometimes when you've beaten a team so many times, you kind of get overconfident. That team has something to prove and they'll come in and maybe make something happen. But I think it's super tight. I think both teams are trying to figure themselves out. I think Chelsea, as Craig rightfully said, I think might be a little bit ahead of Manchester United in kind of getting their cohesiveness together. But I still have a funny feeling that Manchester United are going to come through and it's going to be an all-Manchester final at Wembley.
Well, from a neutral's point of view, it is a great semi-final draw. Casey and Craig, thank you very much. For more from Craig and his shy ways, you can join him on Extra Time. Him and Shaq are with me to answer some of your tweets.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Despite their best efforts then, Inter still just about in the title race, remaining 8 points off Juve at the top of the table. Gav, how did they win that game?
It was remarkable because, look, they're playing Parma. Parma are a team that sit deep, put 7 people almost on the goal line and then attack with 3 guys. And, you know, they get their goal. They take the lead. And it's all uphill for Inter. There's no Brozovic. There's no Sensi. Eriksson's having an off day, so there's no creativity in the middle of the park. And they basically won this through really sheer determination, you know, punching in a goal and then later on somehow Bastoni finding, even though he's like 6'5", finding himself miraculously invisible, like sort of an uncloaking Romulan bird of prey at the far post. And he heads in Victor Moses' little spin move. But, you know, it's one of those things where you praise their grit and whatnot, but, you know, not a performance to write home about.
And you could say the same about what we saw 24 hours earlier as well in the Lazio game. Similar, coming from behind, incredibly dodgy penalty in that match that keeps them just about as well in the title race.
Yeah, a very dubious penalty there from Felipe Caicedo with the whole foot drag and everything against the Fiorentina side, who I thought played well, scored a phenomenal goal with Frank Ribéry early on. But, you know, I think with Lazio, it's more in Lazio's DNA to have games like these where, you know, they pounce on an opposing mistake, they create something, they're very, very resilient. I think what Simone Inzaghi was looking for was a reaction after their incredible defeat against Atalanta in midweek, and he got that, and he got the points, and they moved forward. But you're right. I mean, look, whether it's the lockdown, whether it's the lack of fans, whether it was all the time off, you know, we're seeing it's like Serie A's like bizarro world right now. A ton of goals being scored, and we're getting a lot of results like these.
Away from the title race, Gab. A little bit of light maybe at the end of the tunnel for Milan fans?
Yeah, look, this is huge. Milan and Roma, you're talking about, you know, two teams that are competing for the same prize. Well, actually, Roma still maybe hoping for a top four finish. But, you know, for Milan to take points off them, it's the equivalent, you can call it a Europa League six-pointer from their perspective. I think Roma kind of made this tough on themselves as the game wore on, but Milan, I thought, fully deserving in the end. That goal from Ante Rebic was one of those goals where you look at all the pinball action in the box leading up to the goal. It's one of those where, you know, you tell yourself, if this doesn't go in, you know, this is when heads drop, this is when you get demoralized, and this is when maybe you start thinking, well, maybe the draw isn't a terrible result. Instead, Rebic eventually punching it in, and it's a huge 3 points, and it's very important because financially for Milan to get in the Europa League is very important, both in attracting new commercial sponsorship and commercial deals, but also simply giving their new coach next year, if they do get a new coach, and if it is Ralf Rangnick, really something tangible to work with.
Gab Marcotti, as always, thank you very much. More from Gab available on Monday as the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast drops. You can download that over on the website. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to Ali and Gab and Casey. For more from Craig, who's joined by Shaka Hislop for some of the worst movie reviews you'll ever see, stay tuned for Extra Time next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Shaka is here. Craig's having problems with his air conditioning. The air conditioning man might join in as well. Make more sense than Craig, probably. As we start off by asking Shaka, are you jealous of Andy Carroll's beard? Is it a beard? What is that?
It's a kind of Wolverine-looking beard.
Yeah, I know.
It's a really weird beard.
Yeah, I know. It's
almost no, I am not.
Tiger King-esque.
My beard was lush and beautiful in its own right.
Yeah, right.
And I'm not jealous of that bit.
He looked like Lemmy, didn't he?
Your boy Lemmy, like, yeah, that's true, yeah.
My boy from Waterhead, Lemmy Kilmister, he did. He looked like Lemmy.
Based on the recent success of Chelsea, Manchester United and Wolves, Craig, do you believe that Leicester will keep a Champions League position?
I would have to look at their fixtures.
I can tell you that. Would you like to know them? They've got to play Everton, Arsenal, Sheffield United, Crystal Palace, Spurs and Manchester United.
So I would say it could be in doubt. I think they had two league draws since the restart, haven't played particularly well. Vardy stopped, the goals have dried up a little bit. So yeah, I mean it is feasible. They could be the team that comes under pressure.
They're 3 points ahead of Wolves at the moment in fifth, Shaka, but they do have a game in hand.
I think right now Leicester fall out of the top four. Listen, I totally sympathise with how good a season they've had, but ever since the break, they've just not been able to find any kind of form. And That's a tough finish as well. Spurs and Manchester United all vying for those same spots. I think they miss out.
After a run of good performances lately, does Ross Barkley have a long-term future at Chelsea, Craig?
Yeah, I think so. I think Lampard admires him. I think he knows he can change a game. I think the consistency is something he'll be looking for. But he knows he's got goals in him from the middle of the park. And I don't think he'll be looking to throw the baby out with the bathwater just yet. And whilst he can come on and change games like he did today and score goals like he did today, I think he's got a future there for the time being. I really do.
Shaka, which young midfielder will be talking about more in 10 years' time? Chelsea's Billy Gilmore or Barcelona's Ricky Puig?
I think the easy answer to this is Ricky Puig. And I'm going solely on how much Ali loves him at
yes.
this point.
Yeah,
that's the big decider right here. There's a lot like that can happen in 10 years, especially with these young players and the direction that they go in. But Ricky Puig certainly seems to fit at Barcelona well. So I'm going to lean that way.
Craig, when you have a first life like Billy Gilmore did, obviously had a bit of a mare against Leicester today. Is that just one of the things that you just as a manager would say, look, this is your learning experience, move on, as opposed to kind of giving him some sort of rollicking?
Oh, he won't have got any kind of rollicking because right. you're just going to destroy a young guy's confidence. And Frank Lampard's not going to do that. He's been a young guy himself at West Ham. Coming through, and people were saying he's only getting a game because his dad and Harry Redknapp and blah, blah, blah. So he understands. Look, Billy Gilmore, and they know at Chelsea how talented he is. We've seen it in the Chelsea first team. But he had a game where it didn't start well for him, and sometimes when a game doesn't start well, particularly for a youngster, it rarely gets better because you're then trying to force the issue. It's in your head and you lose the confidence and then you start playing some bad passes. He played a lot of square passes today. That were cut out, but he's a 19-year-old, and it's a big learning curve. And people don't realise how difficult it is for kids to come in. You know, we've got German internationals in the team like Rudiger, and you've got guys that have been there, seen it, and done it. And here we have a teenager, so there's no way in this world he was getting anything else other than an arm around him from Lampard and Jody Morris, and saying, "Listen, you know, this is what you need to work on, and this is what you need to improve." So he'll get it.
Craig, who'd be a better fit at Juve? Jimenez or Milik?
Good question. Milik from Napoli. I would say Jimenez at the moment. I think Jimenez has got a bit of everything. And clearly the air conditioning guy's on the way around because the dog's barking, so he'll be coming in a minute. But I like Jimenez, and I think he's got another big move in him. But Wolves might get into the Champions League, and that could keep... him at Wolves, and I'm flannelling a little bit to the fella comes in. Make it cheap.
Hey,
make it cheap, lad.
Shaka, I heard him off air talking to him, and he was oh, so nice. All right, boss, what's going on? You know.
Yeah.
Craig Burley, one of the people.
There's two totally different Craig.
Well, I'm trying to keep the price down, and so that takes a little bit of rubbing of the ego. That's what it was.
Oh, you're a good air conditioning man.
Well, I used to be an air conditioning technician myself.
Oh yes,
but I just haven't got the time to fix it.
No,
so you're, I had to call somebody.
You're full of hot air. Shaka, what kind of outfield training, shooting accuracy, penalty taking, headers, etc., do goalkeepers go through in the big leagues now? Has it changed since the start of the sweeper keeper wave?
What? We don't go through that. I mean,
no.
Taking penalties. No, listen. No, we don't. And I don't think that's changed. Clearly, the role has changed. But are you going to tell me that Edison, for some reason, is taking headers in training? That don't make any kind of sense.
But he clearly practices his passing. Would you do that? Because you just used to whack it up the field. That was it, yeah?
Well, I used to practice whacking it up the field. I'm whacking it into the stand, just kicking it as hard as it could, wherever I was facing.
Has Craig seen anything lately that can be considered one of his boiling points? Lack of air conditioning, I think, is one.
Yeah. I just got told the price of a new unit, and I was like, no. I'll boil in this house rather than pay for that. Where's the cheap fan? I'm going to get a cheap fan. That's what I'm going to do. No, not really, because, you know, can't really I don't think it's a time and a place for boiling points because of the current situation we're in, really. So I haven't been looking for it, going out my way. People still getting angry about drinks breaks.
Yes.
Do you see that, Dan?
Yes, and you don't mind. Get...
Well, listen. We have live sport back, right? People were moaning, no live sport, no soccer, no this, no that. What we're going to do? Now we have live sport. The soccer has started in Europe. The big leagues have kicked off. And people are angry that there's five subs and their drinks break. It's the heating engineer. Get out. Bloody dog, nosy. You're not going to pay him, are you? So don't even come in.
Oh, so Barney has to come in now. People might not know.
Oh, Barney comes
is.
In. But
come on,
Barney's come in. But Barney just stuck his nose in and went, what is it? I know a bit about air conditioning. Follow him round. I mean, he's following around like a dog.
Well, yeah, there we go. So you don't mind water breaks? Listen, he's changed now, Shaq.
I'm not changed, but I've not changed, but we've had no live sport for 3 months.
No.
And now we have live sport.
No.
But yet people still complain about a water break.
No, I know.
But what would you rather have? No water break? No live sport. Live sport with a little water break. What's the problem?
It's almost like complaining when you have to wait for a press conference after a match when you're sat at home. Who would do that, Craig?
Well, why do I need one of our producers, who will remain nameless, why do I need him to wait on a press conference just in the off chance gets a little snippet that he thinks we're going to insert in the show, right? I don't care. Don't care what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for. I just want to do the show, right? Because I've got things to do.
Busy man.
Golf.
This is a terrible question to ask both of you because you're horrible at this. Best movie to watch during the lockdown?
Shaq.
Yeah, see, Shaq hasn't watched anything ever. And you watch old Russian spy movies, Craig.
Yeah, or YouTube documentaries about inside North Korea.
Brilliant, there you go.
I haven't watched much recently, to be honest with you. I'm trying to rack my brains.
No. What's the
last
thing you saw at the cinema? Gravity? Didn't you take Evan to go and watch Gravity and it was terrible?
Oh, that was 7 years ago.
Yes.
I've been to the cinema since then.
Have you?
No, I went to watch American Sniper?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
On the Oscar, yeah?
Yeah, a couple of years ago I went to watch that.
I think that's more than a couple of years ago.
Well, I watched that a couple of years ago. I did not say I went to watch it when it came out.
Well, you must have done it. It's not going to be seen in the cinema 3 years after its release date, is it?
I asked for them to put it on for me.
Just sit in the air conditioning.
I was in the cinema on my own. So put it on. Put it on, boss. It came up on the big screen.
Shaka?
Two nights ago, I watched Lion King, the latest remake live action thingy.
Yes.
That's as good as... That's the only thing I've watched. Only movie I've watched all lockdown.
And as a Disney movie, Shaka, I'm sure you would join me in saying it is a wonderful piece of art.
Well, I thought that went without saying.
Yes, of course.
It was a wonderful piece of art.
Very good, very good. Excellent.
Oh, I might watch it again.
I think I'll watch it as well.
Oh, I did. Hey, I did watch a film on...
Oh, God.
Yeah, I did. Can't remember the name of it.
Brilliant.
What was it? No, I was going to get a promo in there because I watched it on... This is my corporate... Corporate phrase.
Right.
Today I watched it on Disney Plus.
Okay, right. But you don't remember the name of it, and if it was any good.
Of which I have bundled my ESPN Plus.
Right. Yes. Okay. Right.
So
what
where you can watch the show 7 days. You can watch the show 7 days a week.
What was
ESPN
the movie?
Plus. I don't know. I can't remember.
Why'd you bring it up?
It involved a boat and a lifeguard from Boston. It's on Disney Plus.
Okay, check it out. Boat and a Lifeguard from Boston. Sounds good.
Well, I'll tell you what I watched. Oh. No, what's the name of that?
I don't know.
Pirates of the... That's what I watched on Disney Plus. And I've never seen... Pirates of the Caribbean.
Did you? That doesn't quite seem like your sort of movie.
It's not.
No.
But I do... I watched it. What's his name? The guy was the main guy.
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp. Yeah, quite liked it. Quite good.
Good. There we are. I think it was just us, a sort of movie podcast.
You can't say I've not done our corporate bit today.
No, I think I think Disney
we've sold it.
Very happy. Thank you very much to Shaka and Craig. We will be back tomorrow for more movie reviews. Until then, goodbye.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.